coming up to Opera San Jose, an opera that has done very well for itself since it opened in 1786. Oh. Mozart's Marriage of Figaro with us on the line. Who's with us online? Larry, how are you?
My name is Larry Hancock, and I'm doing great.
Well, good. We're delighted to say hello to Rachel and Rick.
Good afternoon.
Hello, Rachel and Rick. Yeah,
look how good he is. This isn't his first rodeo.
No way. He knows what's going on.
Operas and rodeos. That's something we should combine.
We could bring that in. Is there an opera?
That's a good question.
Rodeo
Is there an American, a Western opera?
My understanding is Brokeback Mountain is an opera.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I've not seen it.
No. You mean the film?
Yeah.
Because I know one of the
fellows.
Yeah, because one of the fellows sang quite loudly.
And Riders of the Purple Sage.
Yeah, that's true.
That's about to have its world premiere.
Yeah. Oh, great.
Well, let's talk about Figaro, because it was May 1st. How do they keep track of this? May 1st, 1786.
Wow.
That it opened. And, of course, Amadeus wrote it. And who penned the librato on it?
His name is Lorenzo da Ponte.
Okay. That's it.
I knew
I was going to get him mixed up.
It's a musical name.
Scoundrel and a Rogue.
Okay. I get him mixed up with Don Henley. But what are you going to do? Tell me, and it's one of the top 10 operas. I don't know what that means, but in terms of performances.
Yeah, performed operas,
That's good.
Figaro has this crazy, strange, unique position in that it is the very first opera that never fell out of production. Huh? All the operas prior to Figaro had to be rediscovered and remounted, dusted off, and put back on stage. Figaro never did from the first performance until today. It has remained in the standard repertoire.
Now, has Figaro, does it play every day at somewhere in the world for the last 300 years?
Well, it's hard to say that. No, I kind of doubt that. Like,
I think up until Jersey Boys, I think he had a record
on
that.
That's quite the question.
Is Opera San Jose really at the California Theater?
Yeah, California Theater, downtown San Jose.
You have... Check this out. Now, I know this is radio, so you can't see, but they have Google like
Yet
Street
you still
View
show
that goes into the California Theater.
We're going to put that on our Facebook right now. That is awesome.
Cool. You have to understand, Larry, Rick has a tendency to stalk people online. So when he says, where are you calling from? All of a sudden, this drone will be over your head. Think, look, Jacob, this is where the guy's sitting. The Marriage of Figaro is one of the great operas if you're a neophyte and just discovering operas, because it's comedic, it's great fun, and there's lots of action. Am I correct on that?
You're really right. And this production is over the top. It's insane. I just got a letter of complaint today from someone who went to a preview for children, and at one point in the opera, a woman comes up to press the count with their baby, and she's just a servant in the household, and he's trying to be all innocent around his wife, who he's accusing of having a relationship with another member of the staff, and he throws the baby out the window.
Oh, my God.
Was the bathwater safe?
So, this is over the top.
So, apparently that offended someone.
Yeah, it did.
Well, you should...
Lucy and Ethel date Laurel and Hardy.
Well, you should know, Larry, in China you can throw two babies out now. That's a change.
Oh, my God.
It's completely insane.
It's insane.
It sounds like it's great fun. Tell me about a couple of the principles.
Okay, well... first of all, why don't I talk about the conductor and the stage director, Andrew Bizance and Lillian Groag. They're kind of a team, actually. They've worked together in many houses in the United States, and he's worked a lot in Europe as well. But anyway, they've worked together a lot and done this show a lot. They're a fabulous team. He's at every single staging rehearsal, and he's making certain that the orchestra is ready to pause when the comedy needs a pause, is ready to move on when the comedy needs to move on, and yet... he's keeping it exactly, precisely Mozartian. Mozart had a great comic sense, a great sense of timing with humor. And he's really putting the orchestra at the service of the drama. It's wonderful to watch them work together.
And so, are there two main roles in the film, or is it all the house, all the house's staff apparently has bit of a role?
There are a lot of characters. Yeah. But the principal characters are the Count and Countess Almaviva. They've only been married for 3 years, and she's only about 22. Okay. And then there's Susanna, who's younger than the Countess. She is the Countess's personal maid. And there's Figaro, who is 18. We find this out during the course of the third act. Figaro is 18 years old, and he is the Count's valet, and they have known each other in the past. So there's a prequel to The Marriage of Figaro called The Barber of Seville. So a guy named Beaumarchais penned three shows, each with the same characters, taking us through right across the French Revolution into the bad times, into the terror. He nearly got his head lopped off. It takes all of these characters in Seville. They get married. Now they're married for 3 years. He's now got a roving eye. He's trying to get his hands on Susanna, her personal maid. And the goal is to get his hands on her today before she gets married.
Just a happy-go-lucky family holiday romp.
Yes. Well, the whole thing is driven by this made-up thing that is not true. It never existed. But Beaumarchais made up a law.
Oh, I thought you meant made down for a minute, but you're talking about the other maid.
He pretended.
Okay.
He pretended that
you're
there
welcome.
Was once a law, which allowed the noble, say, a count who owns a county, right?
Mm-hmm.
The count was allowed to deflower all of the women who lived on his land. That would be all of the women
really?
In the county before their wedding night.
I learned to quote Ira Gershwin, nice work if you can get it.
Of course, it never existed.
It was
impossible.
Made up.
But that's the made up thing.
I love it.
That drives
I love it.
It.
I've got the
and
law
the count,
written right here. It's in crayon.
Yeah. So the count renounced his droit du seigneur, his right of being the lord, when he married Rosina out of love for his new bride. But now he would like to reestablish it, at least in the case of Susanna. So Figaro and Susanna obviously are up against this tooth and nail. And they enlist the assistance of the Countess herself. So the Countess, Figaro, and Susanna are trying to get the Count off of Susanna's, out of her path, out of her way, so that she can get married today and enter her marriage a virgin. Mm. So that's the goal of these three.
Well.
Then there are three others who very much hate Figaro or very much want to marry Figaro themselves, one of them. And so they're all trying to stop the marriage for their own reasons. Mm. So they are on the side of the Count. And then there's the Countess and Figaro and Susanna who are against the Count. So that's the contest all day long. And they keep making up ridiculous stories and fibs and lies and doing things that are insane and getting caught and getting caught and getting caught. So it really, it is Lucy and Ethel.
Larry, it sounds like great fun, and you need to see the show to find out whether they do get the Count off. You know, that is such a cheap joke there. I feel bad about saying so. But let me, did Andrew Bale say to you, by the way, throw away your notes because when you call these guys, you're not going to get through anything. They're going to keep changing.
Actually, I kind of knew your show, so
okay.
I didn't worry about it.
It's kind of like pay no attention to the man behind the microphone and just keep talking.
And you know, the California Theater directly across the street from Cafe Stritch.
It is.
So that's a 1-2 punch
extra.
There.
That's right.
Okay, have you
I
got
just
the
had dinner there yesterday.
Well, say hello to our friend. We'll hear from him a little later today. Hey, quickly, when is the show running? Rachel, have you got over there?
I do. Yeah, but you go ahead, Larry.
Okay, well, we open tonight at 8 o'clock.
Good.
And we perform again tomorrow at 3, and then on the 19th at 8, and on the 22nd, 24th, and 29th. There are 6 performances in total. 3 of them are Sunday matinees at 3, and the rest of them are 8 o'clock at night.
Well,
excellent.
Terrific. Have a terrific opening and a great run. We really appreciate you taking time, and God willing, you'll want to call us again at some point.
Thank you.
I would love to.
Take care, buddy.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.